There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
One of the things to keep in touch with is the ARN News team. Now, they're following up on local, regional and international stories throughout the day and throughout the week. Broadcast doesn't stop for them as they broadcast across the entire weekend, bringing you all the latest from the news floor. One story that has encapsulated the interest, not just of the news team, but all of us the world over, is this story emanating from Thailand. Now, the latest is that a new video has been released of the 12 boys and their football coach trapped in a Thai cave in which they say they are in good health. Smiling and at times laughing, they each introduce themselves one by one. Sanuj Sharif from the ARN News Centre is here to tell us a bit more about this story as the 12 boys and their football coach remain trapped in that cave in Thailand. Sanuj, lovely of you to join us here this morning on the show. Thanks very much indeed for your time.
My pleasure.
Let's start. Should we take a step back if we can? Because obviously this is a story. We're into our 13th day at the moment of this particular story. And this latest video, I suppose, came 3 days ago, which gave hope to parents because fundamentally they were giving up hope, weren't they?
They were in the initial stage because it was 13 days ago on June 23rd that this group of 12 boys aged 11 and 16 and their football coach got trapped inside this cave in northern Thailand. And, you know, they got stuck there due to heavy rains and flash floods. And it was the mother of one of the boys who initially reported them missing. And, you know, initially the local police and officials launched the search operation, but they knew that they wouldn't be able to handle it alone. Then the Navy SEALs joined them, followed by foreign experts, U.S. military personnel, the likes of, you know, diving experts from the U.K., China, Japan and Australia flying in for help. And it was only 10 days later, on the 2nd of July, that the missing group was located alive. And until then, there was no information about, you know, the whereabouts of the group. And like you said, in a video footage released recently, they appear to be in good health and in good spirits.
So my question to you, and this is a story that you and the team have been following and will continue to follow as the rescue operation continues, is this. I mean, why were they there in the first place?
Well, they had gone there for football practice. I mean, not to the cave, but to the area around that. And they decided to explore the area and the surrounding caves. It's a local attraction. And, you know, their football coach took them there. And the guy is also young. He's just 25 years old. And, you know, right now the priority is to get them out safely, but it's a massive challenge. They have to consider the weather conditions, the logistical procedures. And what we hear is that, yeah.
Am I right in assuming, because, again, I'm going to play the bad cop on this one, don't know enough of the details. But so they got themselves into the cave in the first place, but then weather conditions have prevented them from getting out.
Exactly, yeah. There were flash floods and heavy rains that prevented them from getting out. And even when the rescue teams did try to make their way into the cave, it was bad weather which hampered the operations. And it was only 10 days later that they were able to, you know, set up an operations base around the cave. And now there are medics, counselors, and you know, diving experts inside the cave with that missing group. Therefore, you know, they're doing all they can to ensure that they get these people out as early as possible. But again, the Thai government has said that they won't rush the process. Safety is their priority. And they're looking at different options, you know, diving them out, waiting until the weather completely improves, or even creating an alternative entrance around the cave. But then each of those options come with their own different set of risks.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary looking at these, the options that are open to the rescuers at the moment. You mentioned that burrowing in from above to try and get into the cave, to extract them from the roof, as it were, of the cave system. The other one, which is taking the water out of the channel, trying to remove as much of the pumping as much of the water as they can out of the channel to try and open up a space for them to get out. I mean, there will be those out there saying, why can't they just swim out, etc.? I mean, is it too dangerous for that?
It is. Right now, it's really dangerous. Plus, it's said that many of those kids don't know swimming, so they're even being given crash courses in swimming and being taught how to dive as well. It's a really risky process. And, you know, parallel to that, the rescue workers, they have been trying to drain out water already. They've pumped out around 120 million liters of water. Authorities are planning to open communication line as well inside the flooded cave so that the boys can talk to their families. You know, so all these efforts are underway, but it is a massive challenge.
And there are suggestions that, you know, if they leave it be. Mm-hmm. They could be in there for up to 4 months or so whilst the monsoon season.
Well, that's what the speculation is. But, you know, right now it seems that the authorities have no clear time frame in mind. They've said that they have enough supplies prepared to last them for 4 months. But that doesn't mean that the overall rescue operation will run for 4 months. That's what they're saying, which means that, you know, they don't have a clear time frame in mind. Everything depends on the weather and how the logistical procedures related to the rescue work shapes out.
I suppose, you know, there's obviously a safety element that we need to take into consideration here, but also a psychological element, because at the moment they seem to be in good spirits. They've been found, they've been rescued, there are communication lines being set up. But any time under ground, any time in a very dark environment like that could have a very deep psychological impact on a child of that age.
You know, I think that's what's... first and foremost, that's what's really important, that psychological aspect. You know, like you said, visibility is low and space is limited. So you need that resilience. So far, they have been resilient. All of them are, you know, aged between 12 and 16. And even the coach is just 25 years old. So having to stick around there for that long a period, that requires a lot of resilience. And so far, they've been in high spirits.
And just one more for me before we get some more opinions on this particular subject. It's funny. There's nothing funny about this particular situation, but there are parallels, I suppose, with the Chilean miners' disaster several years ago.
Yeah, that was back in 2010 when more than 30, I think it was 33 miners were trapped in a mine in Chile, and they were underground for over 2 months, 69 days to be precise, they were trapped. So that is a positive story. You know, I mean, we can compare in the sense that, you know, don't lose hope, because there was this group trapped underground for more than 2 months and they made out alive, all of them. And, you know, there weren't any major issues. And so I think there are parallels, you know, between the two incidents.
Sanuj, bless you. Thanks so much indeed. That was Sanuj giving us his thoughts live from the news floor on this story, a story that the ARN news team will continue to follow and update. But one element of that is, of course, the diving element, because that's been mooted as one of the options to get these kids out of the cave. In fact, that's how they were found in the first place. Now, I am no specialist diver, but thankfully we've got the services of one who joins us live on the line now. Paddy Course, director at the Al Mahara Diving Centre in Abu Dhabi. Kathleen Russell joins us live on the line. Morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Tom.
Thanks so much indeed for your time this morning and your expertise as well. So I'm going to play the idiot on this one, as I so often do. I mean, for me, looking at the situation, they got themselves into the cave. Since then, the water levels have risen. But is there not the option there just to be able to pull the boys out by means, if they've all got breathing apparatus?
It's going to be a massive challenge, just because, as you talked about earlier, some of the boys don't know how to swim, and also scuba diving, going underwater, is their special skill set that you have to learn. And so the two aspects are really important for their safety and not pressing a panic button, for example. And to add on to that, this is not just a open water where you're diving in nice blue seas. You're actually in very low visibility and not very ideal conditions and very cramped spaces.
In terms of you mentioned there the water conditions as well. Mm-hmm. Can the waters be quite aggressive in a cave system like this during a monsoon? Do levels rise and fall?
Yeah, absolutely. As some of the rescue divers already probably that you've seen on interviews, there's rushing water, so there's currents. As water sort of raise and the level, so you're going to have a lot of the earth and mixed up, and so the turbidity, the visibility, so all that are huge factors in terms of increasing that risk. So just taking them out, it's going to be a massive challenge.
In terms of the challenge ahead, is one of the things that is imperative here, and given your diving expertise, is not to rush this situation, or are they up against a sort of stopwatch in terms of weather conditions? I mean, could there be a scenario when the caves themselves fill with water?
That's something that I think all of the rescue mission and the command center there, that's the sort of the double-edged sword that they're facing right now, is the time in terms of if the torrential rainfalls or the monsoon is really going to hamper that, or can they take a bit more time and then have some, you know, time to think about it? And also the boys as well, too, whether they're up for that. I mean, they seem really resilient after being found 9 days in the dark. You could think that their survival instinct is very much very high. And then the thought of being able to, you know, to leave the cave, all, you know, with spirits high, you know, all those are taken into factors.
We've had Randall get in touch with us this morning about the subject, and Randall says the immediate action is ensuring the physical and mental health of the kids. He then goes on to say the bigger problem is extraction. In my opinion, diving may be the best option. We've heard about all the different options, the wait and see, the see out the monsoon, the drill in from above as well. From what you know, and I appreciate that you're looking at this from afar, but from what you've heard, from what you see, do you think that diving could well be the best option?
I think it's going to all depend on the boys and their abilities and their confidence. So if the team, and there's some very, very experienced divers and instructors there, and they've got that sort of psychological support, if they're able to assess that these kids are able to, you know, be comfortable in a enclosed system such as wearing a mask and going underwater and breathing underwater, that could be a likelihood, but it really depends on them. We've taken, you know, we teach divers a lot, and we do teach young divers, and it's, you know, there's the psychology in there as well, too, to make sure that they're calm and they're relaxed, and these are not calm conditions that they're going to be going through, and it's much longer distances and time that they're going to be submerged underwater.
And is that one of the challenges that the authorities, but specifically the divers, face, the fact that they're dealing with some of these kids who by their admission can't even swim, let alone dive? Is this, you know, running before you can crawl?
Yeah, exactly. It's not as simple as just doing a Discover Scuba where you can just, you know, stand up if you're not feeling comfortable. They're going to be submersed for a duration and for a distance before they can come up maybe into another chamber. So a lot of that is going to be a huge factor. And I think they have to really think about the abilities of the kids and assess from that aspect as well, too. So it's not like just kind of packing them in and then just shipping them through a mile and a half and, you know, up and down the labyrinth of the cave.
The international interest in this story is, with good reason, very, very high at the moment. The international rescue response has been phenomenal as well, with some of the best open sea and cave divers responding to that call and getting themselves over to Thailand to be part of the Brains Trust about getting these guys out. Is that sort of indicative of the global diving family, as it were, at the moment, that people respond to these sort of stories and events?
Yes, I definitely agree, and I think that's phenomenal that they were able to mobilize divers' expertise and cave expert divers from all over the world, and the support that they're getting, and also the equipment. It's not just their own safety equipment, but it's also the air cylinders. It's also maybe the oxygen if they're using specialized scuba equipment. So there's a lot more sort of logistics challenges to get to an area like that as well, too.
Kathleen, really appreciate your thoughts on this one. I'm sure it's one that you're watching on with interest at the moment,
yes,
as are the rest of us. And
yes,
I'm sure you, like us, are just hoping that it all ends in a great story that Hollywood can make the most of in weeks to come.
I can see that.
Kathleen, all the best. Thanks so much indeed for your time.
You're welcome.
That was Kathleen Russell, Paddy Course Director at the Al Mahara Diving Centre in Abu Dhabi. You a diver? Is this a story that you have read with interest or are monitoring with interest? It's one that you can't get away from with all of the major news sources from the world over descending on the region of Thailand to follow the story. Heavy rain forecast for the weekend could force authorities to decide the boys should swim and dive out. Something rescue experts have said so far could be extremely dangerous. And as you've heard there from Kathleen, it is fraught with problems. But if you would like to monitor this story, keep it locked here on Dubai Eye 103.8. The ARN News team will have all the latest for you on that one throughout the weekend.
It's time to have your say. The Agenda with Tom Urquhart on Dubai Eye 103.8.
A big thanks to you all for your thoughts. Big thanks to you all for your partnership over the last couple of days. Big thanks to George Tolley as well, who's off on her summer holes, her long summer holes, but not before she tells us who the winner of today's competition is and why.
Yes, congratulations, Sir Duty. You have won 2 tickets to go to Dubai Opera to see the comedy tomorrow. Last minute date. That's brilliant. You are going to be, basically, it's the comedy night at Dubai Opera. You're going to beat the heat this July with a night of side-splitting laughter, easy for me to say, as Dubai Opera hosts the comedy night tomorrow. Loads of people are going to be there, and you had the right question, right answer, which was?
South Park.
South Park. Are you going to play the clip?
I've lost it.
Okay.
But well done to all those. Lots of people got that one right. We got Wimbledon for you today. Centre court action. Kukushkin against Nadal. Konta against Chipokova. Edmund against Klan. Over on number one court, Marin Cilic taking on Pella. Halep against Zheng. Del Potro against Lopez. And Fritz against Zverev. Some of the big names in action across all of the outer courts as well a little later on. All that action is live here in the region. And let's talk World Cup as well, because you've got some big games to look forward to over the weekend. It is time for the FIFA World Cup quarterfinals. Uruguay against Brazil at 6 o'clock tomorrow. That's followed by Brazil against Belgium at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And then on Saturday, do join me and the rest of the Grill team. We're live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Sweden against England. As soon as we go off air at 6 o'clock, we're on from 3. So do come on down and join us there. Sweden England is a 6 o'clock kickoff here in Dubai on Saturday. That's followed by Russia against Croatia at 10. Huge thanks to you, Georgia Tolley, for all your hard yards.
Pleasure.
Huge thanks to all the team back of house. Milani, thank you very much indeed to you, the hardest working person in radio. Shroots, thanks very much indeed for your hard yards, putting this one together. More from Shroots, me and the rest of the team next week. None from Georgia, though. She's off. She's been done. That's it. She's gone.
Done. Finished. Over.
Have a good summer holes.
Thank you very much. A pleasure. Yes.
Enjoy yours. We'll see you when you get back. And of course, we'll see everyone else on Sunday with a paper review. Until then, enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.